there. Welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox. With me is Kevin Kissinger. Kevin, this is your first appearance on LSAT Demon Daily. Why don't you introduce yourself to the audience?
Sure. Excited to be here. I am a current TA for the LSAT Demon. So I help make sure classes run smoothly for Ben and sometimes sub for Nathan. I also work behind the scenes and do a little bit of the beta testing and ensure the Demon works smoothly for all students.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Kevin, for your help. We don't say this enough, but Ben and I have assembled quite an amazing team of teachers and tutors and TAs and editors and people who help us in a million different ways. And we just couldn't do any of this shit if it wasn't for you guys. So thank you so much for all of your help. You're also an LSAT student.
That's right. Yeah. So I'm still studying. I have a pretty great score on record already, but I know I can do better. So I'm going to take it again. And I will do that in January.
If you don't mind sharing, you can redact whatever you don't want to talk about, but where did you start? What have you done for prep? Where are you now?
So I started 2 years ago and my diagnostic was at 153, I believe.
Not bad.
And I kind of studied. I didn't take it too seriously because I was finishing up my senior year of undergrad. And I wanted to make sure I finished with a strong GPA before I really started going with LSAT studying. Then I basically started studying with some other prep test companies. And one of them, I think, gave me an okay foundation, but a friend recommended the Demon for me. And once I saw the Demon and the drilling feature, like, I was addicted to the drilling feature. I would just, when I'd wake up in the morning and when I'd fall asleep, I'd be drilling. Okay. So, but at that point, this fall, I really started going for it seriously and took the LSAT a few times and I got a 168 and trying to get a 172 because that's where I was scoring in practice on average.
You said you've taken it a few times. You've taken it a few times officially?
Yes. So I've got a 168, a 165, and a 168 on record.
In that order, 68, yes. 65, 68. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you waited for the cycle to reset, I guess, and you have two more attempts.
Yeah.
Are you going to try to apply next fall?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So you got two more shots at it. Are you registered for?
Yep. So I was hoping I registered for September and October, and I thought that would be good, but didn't make it in time for November, and I'm going to do it in January. So
you're going to take January. Okay.
Yep.
Deadline, by the way, if you're listening to this podcast close to when it comes out, the deadline for the January LSAT is somewhere in early December. I think it might be December 3rd. So did you already register, Kevin, for
yes.
January? Okay. You're already registered. And then you'll have one more shot at it after that, which means that your January test is just another practice test and you need to treat it as such. There's no reason why you shouldn't be able to score whatever you've been scoring on your recent practice tests, which it sounds like for you are somewhere in the 170s.
Yes. So mostly 172, 173.
Okay. As long as you don't try to do anything different or extra, I would bet on you to score 172 or 173 on this next official attempt. If you try to do something different or extra, it's likely that you're going to get the downside of variance, not the upside of variance.
Yes.
People, you know, shoot for the moon, and if you miss, you'll hit the stars. And the reality is you end up crashing and blowing up on the launch pad, and that's not what we want. So play your game. Don't try to finish the sections. Don't triple check and try to make sure that you're getting everyone 1000% right. You know, it's more like just kind of let it flow the way you've been letting it flow on your practice tests, and hopefully we'll get that 170 something that we know you're capable of. And law schools only care about your highest score. So yep. If that doesn't happen until your fourth or fifth attempt, so be it. We've sent plenty of people to law schools with scholarships and schools in the top 14 and even Yale actual law school who took the test five times. So you know, no pressure, nothing to worry about. Just kind of play the game that you know you're capable of playing.
Yep. I'm excited. It'll be good.
Awesome. Thanks for being here, Kevin. We have an email from Spencer. It says, "Hello, Ben and Nathan. I have an issue involving a wide range of practice test scores. My most recent practice test scores have been the following. 174, 18. There's a bunch of dates in here as well. These are all from September and October. 174, 180, 172, 172, 171, 178. Do you have any advice on how to be more consistent on the test? I personally feel my biggest issue is worrying too much about the score during some practice tests that I paradoxically perform worse. Is this type of range normal? Should I withhold from taking the LSAT until I am more consistent? My first attempt is scheduled for November, which is, as we record right now, the November LSAT. I am also concerned because I only have a few fresh tests left. Thanks, Spencer. Anything ringing a bell here for you, Kevin? You sound like you might be kind of in the same boat a little bit.
Yeah, actually, I was looking at these scores and they seem fairly similar to what I've been experiencing, where I'm at the lower end of the 170s, but I get the occasional higher 170. And personally, the first thing that jumps out to me is this seems like a little bit of luck versus just kind of getting the questions that pop out to you maybe, or seeing a couple questions that were harder than you originally thought and just getting unlucky with them. Because at that point in the high range, a couple questions changes your score drastically. So that's what jumps out to me first.
Yeah, when you get above the 170s, you're at the point of the curve where one question is 1 point. And maybe even one question is 2 points.
Right.
There are scoring scales where there'll be an asterisk and it'll be like, oh, you got, I'm adapting this for Flex. Flex only has 75 questions, but it'll be like 68 correct? Okay, that's a 172. 69 correct? That's a 174. That happens sometimes when we get into the 170s. So yeah, my first hypothesis here is, I mean, we've got a range of 171 to 180. Good problem to have.
Yeah.
Second, that range is not unusually wide. So the first thing that I would want to say to Spencer is, you are right now a 175 plus or minus 4. And that's a great place to be. It's a totally normal thing. Your problem is not consistency. Your problem is you don't have a problem. Your problem is you understand the majority of what you're doing. You're getting the majority of the questions right. Sometimes, as Kevin says, you get a little bit unlucky. Your knowledge of the test is not perfect. People who score 171 or 172, you're good, but you're not great. And there's stuff that you don't understand. So what you really need to do, Spencer, is just dig into every mistake. That's what you should be focused on. You should not be focused on consistency. Consistency is just a myth. It's not a thing. The only time you're ever going to get consistent is when you start getting 180 after 180 after 180 because you actually understand the test. Go ahead, Kevin.
I also feel like if you focus on consistency, you detract yourself from just focusing on the practice test itself. You know, you kind of get like, oh, I have to score this specific number and, you know, keep my numbers high or whatever, rather than focusing on the material and learning from it and just doing well, you know, doing well on the test in general.
I mean, it is true that worrying about consistency can only hurt you. Worrying too much about the score during some PTs, as Spencer says, can only hurt you.
Yeah.
You need to let it go. You need to stop thinking about the score. You need to focus more on every single question. I mean, you're not doing the test. You're doing one question. And then you're doing another question. And when you're done, you will have done the test. But I think what students try to do sometimes is they try to do the whole test at once, or they worry about the whole test at once. And all you're doing there is you're like peeling off little bits of your attention. You know, it's like leaks in the pipeline where you're losing a little bit of pressure because you're worried about the score. You're losing a little bit of pressure because you're worried about consistency. There's a little tiny leak over here because you're worried about, this is the beginning of my law school career and I have to go to Yale. You know, you're letting all of those little bits of your attention wander. Therefore, you're struggling on a question that probably is actually easy, but you're misreading it somehow or not making the connections that are there to be made. And so it's, yeah, I just want to go back to that idea that it's one question at a time and you need to focus more intently on every single question individually. If you do that, then I don't see any reason why you can't just continue to rack up scores that are in the 170s and probably move some of these 171s, 172s into something more like 175, 176. And at that point you're done, but you're always going to have a little bit of range. And I wouldn't worry about that. I think you're harming yourself by worrying about consistency.
I agree.
Variance is good. I mean, think about it another way. Would you rather be a 174 plus or minus four, or would you rather be a consistent 175 every time?
I'd rather be the 175, but I'd rather...
No, you wouldn't. Think about it again, Kevin. Here's the choice. You get to be a 174 plus or minus four, or 175 exactly every time.
Okay. Yeah. So if you do the plus or minus four, you'd occasionally get a higher score or a lower score.
Not even occasionally. Half the time you would score higher than 174. So what I'm trying to say is variance is good. Law schools only care about your highest score. Variance is good. It's your friend. Spencer already has a 180 and a 178 in his practice test record. Well, okay, Spencer, you should be taking the official LSAT because all you need is one of those good days to show up on your official record and you're done. You declare victory. You've got five bites at the apple and your practice record indicates that you're totally ready to take the official test. So the fact that you are right now a 174 plus or minus four, roughly, is good. That's as good as you ever need to be on the LSAT. Go take the test, play your game. Don't try for the 180. Just play the game that you've got. Some days you're going to score 171. Okay, whatever. Take it again. Other days you're going to score 179. All you need is one of those and you're done forever with the LSAT. Any final thoughts, Kevin?
No, I definitely learned a little bit while we're having this discussion too, and I hope Spencer did.
You want to take that advice to heart. It's good to have a little bit of, and everybody has a little bit of range. There's nothing you can do about it anyway. The only people who are actually consistent are the ones who just never miss any questions at all. And that's very, very rare.
Right.
Even I would have some variance in my range. Ben Olson would have some variance in his range. There's no such thing as consistent. There is getting really good at the test and basically getting most of the questions right all the time, but that's not consistency, that's mastery. So we're going to go for as much mastery as we can possibly get, and then we're going to accept that there's variance and there's just going to be a range, which is good for you because law schools only care about your highest score.
Yeah, makes sense. Spencer's in a good spot.
Spencer's in a really good spot. So are you, Kevin. This is going to work out really well for you. Thanks for coming on the show. Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.